Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM with myself, James Torman Aldrich, and my co-host, Jaden Barfus. Today might be a little bit of a shorter episode as there aren't a lot of things happening this week. Football just played their first game. Volleyball just finished their first tournament and are currently playing in their second tournament of the season as of recording. We'll talk about women's soccer a little bit. They're playing UC San Diego in about 2 hours at the time we're recording this. This is being recorded on September 5th around 4 p.m. So at the time this goes out, UC San Diego and the Vandals will have already played, but we'll touch on that a little bit, touch on their upcoming game against Boise State on Sunday, and then obviously talk a little bit about football. So I'll start out with things, just jump kind of right into what's happening on the Palouse this week as the Vandals head over to Pullman, Washington at the Palouse Ridge Golf Club to take on the Cougars in the Palouse Collegiate Golf Tournament. There's no preview or anything posted on the Go Vandals website on what that tournament will entail, who all is competing. So for all I know, it's Idaho and WSU. That'll be September 10th and 11th, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week over in Pullman, if you are so inclined to go watch some golf. Next up, there's no track and field happening this week, so I won't touch on that, but next up, we have volleyball, which went 0-3 starting their season at the Betty Austin Invitational and taking on Alabama A&M Southern Illinois University. If that name sounds familiar, it's because it's who the Idaho football team beat in last year's playoff game. And then also losing to UT Chattanooga 3-0. So they lost 9 straight sets to start the season. They are currently down in southern Utah, in Cedar City. Thanks, Jaden. Cedar City, Utah, taking on UC Riverside and Southern Utah both Friday and Saturday. They are currently playing when this episode goes out, taking on Southern Utah, who used to be in the Big Sky Conference, left a couple of years ago. I think they officially joined whatever conference it is they're in now in 2022. So the Vandals will have faced UC Riverside and gone through their first matchup against Southern Utah and are taking on Southern Utah twice. And as of recording, we are exactly 3 weeks away from the Big Sky home opener in Memorial Gym on the University of Idaho campus against the Portland State Vikings, which the Vandals took on for homecoming a couple of years ago. And should be a fun one as this new coaching staff gets their first shot. A very new team gets their first shot at a Big Sky opponent. All right, I'm going to introduce Jaden into the fray after letting you all know about the upcoming things in the sports that aren't talked about as much here at the university, but still important. Jaden, if you don't know, is our basically in-house soccer genius, as I would like to call him. Tonight, as of recording, as I mentioned earlier, the Vandals are taking on UC San Diego, Big Sky Championship recognition game. Jaden, you said you did some research into this team a little bit. Obviously, you know, once this goes out, the game will have already happened, but tell us a little bit about UC San Diego and what they would have brought to the table in this game as we look forward to it.
Yeah, so for first off, with UC San Diego, they come in with a record of 1-4. They have played a big-time opponent in Cal, which is now a ACC type team that is 4-1-1. So they have experience. Their one win is against the University of Nevada, who we play next. So it's going to be a very interesting game. For me, I've got three players that really stuck out. Senior forward Courtney Hyland. She has 2 goals, 1 assist. Raquel Kolakoff, I think, 2 goals as well. And then Lana Gilligan has 2 assists. This team has scored 4 goals on the season, has given up 7. And so their goalkeeper is Jenny Franck, I believe her last name is, has the exact same stats as our goalkeeper Paula Flores, except she has 3 less saves. She's 23, Paula has 26, but they have the same goals allowed, goals against, everything like that. And so it's going to be a very interesting game. With being championship recognition night, there should be a great crowd. So it should be a great Thursday night contest.
Absolutely. Their next game up, we talked quite a bit about this on the last episode, but just kind of a refresher, going up against Boise State. Kind of tell me how this game against UC San Diego, kind of as you said, a team that's 1-4 going into the game on Thursday. Kind of how the Vandals will be able to grow from this game and what they can take into Boise State on Sunday.
Well, the one thing we're gonna have to do against Boise State is score. That's the one thing we're gonna have to do. We're not gonna be able to pull Washington State and just sit back and defend and pray and hope, because this Boise State team has 2 lethal forwards, number 8 Carly Cross and number 4 Avery McBride. Both of those have been creating havocs for their opponents. Last night they fell 2-0 to a previously ranked BYU team at Southfield in a very hostile soccer environment. And in the first half, they really pushed it to really the metal. So in this game, if you're looking at like key things to look for inside the game on Thursday, it's gonna be our tempo, our style of play, and really how can we respond when things don't go our way? Because in Boise on Sunday at noon, it's not ideal for us to play Sunday when all the crowd can be there, and for all the Bronco faithful to be there. And Boise State will be hungry coming off a loss. So this game is going to be very important for us as a confidence booster, number one, and to be able to play Idaho Vandal Soccer, which got us the Big Sky Championship last season.
You know, as we talked about last week, Boise State is really going to be, in my opinion, this kind of measurable team for the Big Sky Conference as they take on a lot of these Big Sky teams. I don't want to go and look back through their schedule right now, but I think they play kind of those teams that are pretty decent in the Big Sky Conference. And taking on the Vandals, it's been very difficult for Idaho to schedule Boise State in anything in recent years. So for me, looking at this game, not knowing much about BSU, not knowing much about soccer, for me, this is a game where a rivalry that we haven't seen in so long. I think the last time this game was played was 5 years ago or something like that. A game that Idaho fans will look at as, okay, maybe Boise State and Idaho are finally ready to take each other on in something and to be the Big Sky champions coming off of, what could be a win against UC San Diego after some tough games earlier in the season. I do think this will be a massive game for Idaho, especially if they do win, but if they keep it in a close loss, I would hope that there's still some confidence there. Taking a Mountain West team who, do you know what the score against BYU was?
Yeah, the score was 2-0.
Okay, so a team that just lost 2-0 to a formerly ranked team, as you mentioned, are going to come in hungry. Should be a really fun watch for those Boise Vandals and for those who are willing to travel down from Moscow. I'm not one of them. That's a long drive. But should be a fun one down in Boise. And You know, if the Vandals come out, going to be a massive win for Idaho, one that I'm not going to stop talking about for a while. And then should lead good into the University of Nevada on next Thursday. A team that Idaho is, I think as you said, 1-1 with in the last couple of years. We drew with them last year. So that'll be fun. And then the Vandals will return home on September 15th. So after for four straight games. So, taking on Utah Tech, UNLV, Sac State, and Portland State, and then basically another home game, just driving an hour and a half up to Cheney, Washington. So, a fun little road stretch here, just a couple games for Idaho before they come back to the Kibbe Dome for a good long stretch, and then three road games, which would be fun. So, I'll be watching, hopefully, if the Mountain West Network isn't as bad as it's been in the past. Should be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, let me add something. So for the entire state, I think really this is more about state pride. I mean, Montana State play every year, right? I mean, we do play Idaho State, but it really hasn't been a two-sided rivalry in quite some time. And so this game against a quote-unquote better team than what Idaho is. I mean, I personally think us going toe-to-toe, us playing our game, we are just as good as Boise State. And I think that if the Vandals come out and attack them, there's no doubt we can win. But the problem that we've been having in these bigger games against Wazoo, against Boise State, against Gonzaga last year, we come out flat. We come out and we pump up the we pump the brakes and we just defend. And so if we come out, we attack and our midfield can establish the game early. I do think this Boise State game can be a win, and it can be a huge state pride thing. And I think something for the soccer community, especially having that state pride of we are, in fact, the best team inside Idaho is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I also, you know, looking at this game, as you mentioned, state pride, I want to know what you would think, you know, Idaho and Boise State, if they draw here. You know, we talk about the wins and the losses, but a draw very easily could be on the table. Kind of what that would mean for both programs.
Yeah, I mean, a draw would be a huge result for us, obviously, going to a Mountain West team and on Sunday. And I would anticipate a sold-out crowd. The one thing that people that are not from Idaho should know, Boise is the soccer city in the entire state. Everybody that plays soccer and is really, really good is from Boise. We actually have, I think, two members of our soccer team from there. And so we've got some, we have some homegrown players that will come back. I know Peyton Oilikers is from there. And so I just think that it's going to be a great, great game. A tie would be better for us, obviously, for Boise State. I think after last night's 2-0 loss against BYU, where they got outplayed the entire game, I think that it was lucky it wasn't further. But I think for this game, a tie would be a step in the wrong direction for them.
Peyton Oakers is from Meridian, so basically Boise. Jane might disagree
with me. It is in Boise, yeah.
Yeah, so Jane does agree with me if you didn't hear that. Yeah, so this will be a good little homecoming game for a couple Vandals. And win, lose, or draw, I think it'll be a fun game. Yep. Obviously, win or draw would be better. But as I said, I'll try to tune in if I can. Mountain West Network and I historically have issues with each other. So
I'm going to be traveling, so yeah. I will do my best.
If you're wondering, if you just kind of heard Jaden there, we're recording this early because Jaden is headed to an Oregon-Boise State soccer game on, are you leaving Saturday? Friday? Okay, so he's leaving Friday.
not
So he'll be
a soccer game if
or football game.
Football, yeah.
Sorry, my bad. Soccer on the brain.
I know, yeah.
So he'll be over watching one of the best running backs in the country. That really, I hate to say that, but I'd be incorrect if I said anything else. And Austin Jeanty from, that's his first name, right? Yeah. Ashton, something.
Yeah.
Jeanty, something Jeanty.
Yep.
For Boise State taking on his favorite team, as we mentioned last week, the Oregon Ducks, which segues really well, unless you have anything else to say about soccer,
nope.
Into our next point of Idaho football, who shocked the world, really. You know, obviously didn't win, and as Jason Eck said after the game, you know, they don't hand out rings at the end of the year for playing Oregon close. And really, when you look at it, Idaho, you know, losing 24-14, you can say the score was close. The stat sheet is not close at all.
No, like, that game was a tale of Oregon not being able to put things inside the end zone, and Oregon could not hand the ball off. Like, how Oregon, I don't know how many Vandals watch Oregon, like, week in, week out. They love to power. They love the ground and pound, and then go for deep shots. Both of those things, the Vandals took away and made us nickel and dime it down the field, which made Oregon tired. And then that caused a flag and a holding, and a flag that I will still not agree with, the one that took away that touchdown into the first half. But the Vandals played great. The defense was great. The offense was a shell. If it wasn't for two big plays, that game was probably 24-0. I mean, Oregon's defense dominated them. And that says nothing bad about the Idaho offense. I mean, Idaho's offense lost Hayden Hatton, Jermaine Jackson, Anthony Woods, Giovanni McCoy. I mean, they lost their core of their offense. And to go up there and put up 14 off of a trick play that Dan Lanning is still irritated about, and it's Thursday, and then a 4-yard touchdown by Jack Lane.
Yeah, he ran it in
a carry. Yeah. It's like 3 or 4 yards.
It was direct snap to Eli Cummings.
Yeah.
Eli Cummings handed it off to Jack Lane. Jack looked like he was going to throw it, realized he had a wide open lane to the end zone, takes it in.
Yeah.
I mean, as you said, without those two trick plays, this game's 24-0.
Mm-hmm.
Could even be worse. You know, you don't have any momentum from the offense.
Yep.
Having the defense out there more, this game could have been 31-38-0.
Could have been, yep.
Instead, and you know, as I said, this game was not close on the stat sheet. 31 first downs for Oregon, 10 for Idaho. As you mentioned, Anthony Woods being gone, Idaho had 49 rushing yards from two running backs, mostly Eli Cummings, who had a really big run. I imagine those rushing yards also take, you know, sacks and stuff into consideration,
yeah.
Which Jack Lane got hit a lot. We'll touch more on Jack Lane here in a minute. Oregon had 107 yards on the ground, 380 yards through the air. Idaho only had 168. The ball was thrown between the two teams 77 times. Idaho going 11 for 27, two interceptions. And Oregon, what's Oregon's quarterback's name?
Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel going 41 for 50. If anybody listened to the show last year, one of the big things I said after any time Idaho lost was, you can't throw the ball 35, 40 times, especially in Idaho's offense, not run it very much, and expect to win. Oregon proved me wrong.
Throwing it 50 times. And it's like the one thing I would say about Oregon's offense in the first game, for all you Boise State people on Twitter and everything talking crap about them, just wait until this offense explodes, because how Oregon's offense likes to do it, they really love to get their playmakers in space. And for the Vandals, defense was great at tackling. That was the one thing they were good at, is that those 5-yard screen passes were 5 yards. There wasn't broken tackle after broken tackle and going for 40. And so the Vandals defense is going to be one of, if not the best defenses of the Big Sky. Going off of that game and going off of what you and I have watched for spring practice and everything like that, the spring game, I can really tell that Coach Jack worked really hard on that defense. Now, I mean, obviously with the breaking news we're going to discuss here in a minute, our offense is really going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think we just jump onto that right now. For those who aren't on Twitter or any form of media or haven't read literally anything published by any paper in the area, and even, you know, Oregon area, Jack Lane went down with a collarbone injury late in the fourth quarter, about two drives left. He may have even gotten injured earlier in the game, it looks like. He came up kind of slow, but the big hit there at the end of the game
was the fourth quarter.
It was late in the fourth quarter, about two drives before the end of the game. Was luckily able to get in and get collarbone surgery basically right away. But he will be out for the foreseeable future. Jason Eck does expect him to be back before the end of the season, which leaves this open spot for another man named Jack Wagner, who people immediately rallied around on Twitter, immediately rallied around in the locker room. Jason Eck is high on him. I think Jaden has a quote pulled up here. Yeah. On what Jason said about his new starting quarterback during the Monday press conference.
Yeah, and so the quote reads, "We are fired up about Jack. He has a lot of ability, and that's a great opportunity for him. And I think his first start being at Wyoming is going to be a pain. Because, yes, Wyoming just lost 49-0, yes. But for his first ever collegiate start to be in that environment, thank God the game is not at night, or we are talking about maybe having to play our third-string quarterback. Because Wyoming, if you've ever been there, gets crazy at night, and especially in that war memorial. That place gets juiced up. And so it's going to be a tough game for the Vandals, but I am a person that loves to be optimistic about things, but we have never seen Wagner play. I mean, us for Vander fans saw Jack Lane in two games. We saw Wagner back him up and like do like halfback tosses and things, but we really haven't seen him be able to conduct a offense. And so obviously Coach Eck sees Wagner every day, so Eck knows a lot more about him than what you, me, or any other Vandal fans know. So it's really going to be about us waiting and seeing. I mean, to say the year is over is a way over exaggeration. To say that our offense isn't going to be good is going to be way over exaggeration. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I commented a handful of times on Instagram, you know, there are 25 total players on a football team, including special teams. That means there's 24 players outside of the quarterback. For all I know, Jack Wagner is prime Tom Brady. You know, for all I know, Jack Wagner is the best thing since sliced bread. Now, I didn't really pay attention to Jack Wagner when I was going to those spring practices, those fall practices, back when I was still working for the Argonaut. Paid a lot of attention to Jack Lane because I, you know, there was a time where I kind of expected him to step into Javonte McCoy's role because I figured Javonte was going to leave. And now here we are. And, you know, it's tough for Jack Lane, you know, to go down first game of the season after he's been riding the bench for the last couple of years, waiting for his opportunity. But what I really love is during Monday's press conference, I know you didn't watch it, but there were a lot of moments in there where Jason Eck was talking about Jack Lane and talking about his mental state of, you know, this could take a quarterback out. This could kill a quarterback's confidence. He's going to be on that sideline. He's going to be a player coach. He's going to be talking to Wagner, coaching Wagner up. And, you know, for Idaho, really,
as bad as it is for their starting quarterback to go down, you much rather, as Jason said on Monday, you much rather have them go out a week before your next game so you can get Jack Wagner into your offense. You can figure out how he's going to work with the ones, figure out the scheme that you need to have around him. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for Jack Wagner to show who he is. You know, he has this game against Wyoming, and then he gets to be that lucky guy who gets to lead the offense against UAlbany in the biggest revenge game of all time when Idaho takes them on in the Kibbe Dome in a couple weeks. And so I'm excited to see what Jack Wagner is going to bring to this team. I've heard he has a very electric arm. Mm-hmm. I pulled up his stats from high school. He was 120 for 191, 1,895 yards, 20 touchdowns. That was in 8 games played. If you expect Jack Lane to be healthy by about mid-season, you know, if now obviously college ball isn't high school, but
yeah.
Jack Wagner is probably going to have about 6-7 games, maybe 8, where he's going to be able to prove himself. And honestly, if I'm Jason Eck, I'll give you a moment to talk here. I don't want to lose my thought. You know, if I'm Jason Eck and Jack Wagner's balling out, if he's on the verge of, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, if he's on the verge of that Jerry Rice Award winner, play him through the season. You know, give him, and you know, that sucks for Jack Lane, but I don't want Jack Lane going out unless he's 110% healthy. And I think that's probably the mindset of Jason, the mindset of Coach Slice, the mindset of Matt Linehan, the wide receiver coach. You know, this is a Vandals team that, you know, it's going to have a new identity this season. The defense is very, very good. I mean, if you ask anybody on an FCS thread, anybody in the Big Sky Conference who watched that game against Oregon, even those Montana and Montana State fans who hate to admit that anybody's better than them, you know, everybody is praising Idaho's defense. And you know, when you lose Mervin Kenyon and you lose Armani Arnold and Marcus Harris, and you know, you lose some of your best defenders, one of the best defenders in Idaho history in Mervin Kenyon, who had an interception for Sac State against whoever they, San Jose. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose these big defensive pieces, but you have players who are stepping up in their spot. You know, you and I talked a bit about Kamari Bailey. Not, geez, why do I always do that? Kamari Bailey doesn't play for the Vandals anymore. Fun fact, everyone. Tyron Beecham plays for the Vandals. One of you out there has had to have gotten that mixed up at 1.2. Don't laugh at me that bad, okay? Tyron Beecham, who almost had an interception against Oregon, even said it himself on his Instagram. He needs to use 2 hands next time. Could have came down and could have had, you know, maybe Idaho only loses 24-21 instead. But this is a revamped defense. This is an entirely new offense outside of Jordan Dwyer, basically. Mark Hamper. I haven't seen enough people giving Mark Hamper his flowers for that block on the trick play. If Mark Hamper doesn't get the block off there, Jack Lane gets sacked again. Idaho doesn't score. Jake Cox doesn't get his touchdown. So, you know, give Mark Hamper his flowers for that big block on that play. Jane, you look like you've been itching to say something over there. So I'm going to pass the mic over to you, and you say what you have to say.
Yeah, no, it's just for the thing that, well, first off, is that Jack Lane, being there in Wyoming, is huge for Jack Wagner. I think to be able to be someone that, just honestly, for a friend, because if you've ever played a sport, each position group is up for intense competition, but it also brings you closer. And so a quarterback room, all the sports that I've experienced, quarterback rooms have to be the most tightest position when it comes to friendships. And so I don't know either one of them, but I'm sure they're both close. And so having him there will be huge. But the thing about Idaho's offense with Eck, and he's proven it, we don't have to throw it 25, 30 times a game. If we can get that 17 to 18 to 20 times a game, and Wagner can get first downs and then eventually show off his arm, because you and I have both heard that from players and from other people that we've talked to, that that kid can throw the ball. And so it's not going to be his talent. We all know he has talent because the guy is here. I mean, if Coach Jack thought he wouldn't have had talent, he wouldn't have went and got him. And so he's got the talent. Now it's about the mind and about playing the position of the quarterback. And I think Wyoming's a good test. And then being at Albany, I can tell you, is going to be the best game of Jack Wagner's career. First career start at home in front of what's going to be a lights-out crowd. I mean, that's the first game in the Kibbe Dome. And everyone in Moscow knows what happened in January. We all know what happened. So, or December, whenever that game was. We all know what happened. Albany came in here and won. And so everyone has been wanting to play Albany again. And it happens to be the first home game of the year. So, I mean, I will never wish somebody gets hurt. But if Jack Lane was going to get hurt, that was the time to do it, as X said. So they can prepare. And Wagner can have a game before he comes here and shows off in front of us. And then, hey, with collarbones heal quick. I mean, there's some that are 4 weeks, some are six, some are eight. The game that I have circled is that October 12th game. If Jack Lane can be back by then, Idaho could be really going into that game. Is that what, game seven, game eight?
Something like that.
So we could be going into that game 4-3, 5-2. If Jack can be a potent quarterback and can get us in the right positions to win and then to make plays when he is called upon.
Yeah, that's the seventh game of the season. Yeah. Just counted. Idaho has UC Davis on the road and Northern Arizona for conference games before that. NAU, no offense, should be a win for the Vandals. The fun fact, my homecoming game freshman year was against the Lumberjacks. I'm finishing out my career with the same homecoming game. And then the UC Davis game on the road, that's going to be difficult for Idaho. That's going to be difficult for Jack Wagner. Everybody who is a Big Sky analyst, an FCS analyst, anyone who's predicting Idaho to lose four games is predicting that UC Davis game to be a loss. I honestly think the toughest game for Idaho, for Jack Wagner, is going to be this Abilene Christian game. I don't know if you watched the game. They took Texas Tech. They took Texas Tech to the wire. And
overtime.
Should have probably kicked the PAT in overtime, gone into double, triple overtime if they needed to. But they went for two, were unable to get it. I think the final score was 45-44, 47-46, something like that. And that's at Abilene Christian. So that's going to be a tough game for the Vandals. That's going to be the FCS matchup that I have circled for Idaho. We'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. But as you said, you know, having Jack Lane back for that Montana State game in Bozeman on national television, it is going to be huge. And, you know, luckily right after that, they have Cal Poly. So, who just lost to a Pioneer League team. No shade on Cal Poly. I'm just saying Idaho didn't lose to a Pioneer League team. So, but yeah, this is going to be a fun game. And, you know, as you mentioned, the running game for Idaho, I think, is going to be crucial in this game against Wyoming. Eli Cummings, you look at the rushing stats that I mentioned earlier, very misguided, I guess, is the word. It's not what I'm looking for, but it's the word I'm going to say. Misconstrued, that's the word. Jack Lane was sacked for 25 yards. So he ended up with a net of -9, gained 16 yards, one of which was on a touchdown. Eli Cummings, 8 attempts, 45 yards, 43 technically, he lost 2. Nate Thomas, 2 attempts, 10 yards. I guess Nate as a party probably landed on the fumble. That's what he's on there for. But if I'm Idaho, you know, I'm living on this idea that you can run 2, 3, 4 running backs in this game. Art Williams went out there
who I was really high on in the preseason. I would run Eli Cummings, Nate Thomas 20, 25 times if you need to. Also, fun fact, speaking on this Wyoming game, I'm looking outside the stats. I don't know if any of you are College Football 25 fans. I was the Road to Glory quarterback for Wyoming. You were bad. So if that's any factor here.
In their first game, they lost 49-0 at home. So, I mean, against a very bad Arizona State team. And so it's a game that Idaho can win. Definitely. I mean, with Jack Lane and with Jack Wagner, if they can run the ball. That's the thing that every Idaho team has to do. Honestly, what every single good team has to be able to do, they have to be able to do both. They have to be able to run, they have to be able to pass. I mean, if we look at the last four national champions for FBS, I know we're in FCS, but college football is college football. The Wolverines last year ground and pounded Washington into the ground. Georgia again, those teams are run first. And so if when we look at FCS, South Dakota State. South Dakota State runs people to sleep. And then when you are asleep, they will pass it over your head and kill you. And so that is the South Dakota State is the team to model your game. Now, I'm not saying Idaho's as good as South Dakota State. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're as good as NDSU, who should have beaten Colorado. But I just think that how our offense has to go is kind of like what NDSU and SDSU for. Run first. I know fans love to see 40-yard bombs, just like me, just like you. We all love to see them. But the smart thing for Idaho to do is to ground and pound the game and then take the pressure off of Jack Wagner, especially in this game on Saturday.
Yeah, I also think, you know, Wyoming doesn't know what to expect with this game. There's no film on Jack Wagner. You know, you could expect Jack Lane to come in. You have at least, you know, two games in the preseason that you could have looked at his last, you know, two games against Idaho State. And then you have this game against Oregon where you're like, okay, this is kind of how this guy plays. He's got a bit of a pocket presence. He likes to stand in the pocket, get the pass off, doesn't really scramble as much as Javonte McCoy did. And then you have Jack Wagner, who you look at film and you go, okay, he threw an interception against Oregon, but he's only, you know, thrown two passes in the whole game and there's garbage time left. Right. So, you know, this is a game where Idaho probably won't be favored by Vegas just because they don't have they don't have their season starting quarterback. But a game where if I'm Wyoming, I'm a little nervous just because I don't know what to expect. You know, I kind of know what to expect in the running game with Nate Thomas and with Eli Cummings, who are still listed as the one and two running backs. You have your same wide receivers out there with Jordan Dwyer, who dropped a couple of passes against Oregon. Hopefully he's worked on his hands a little bit over the past week. You know, Jake Cox, still the starting tight end, will be big for Idaho. One thing that we haven't talked about from that Wyoming game, and one thing that I would be worried about Oregon game, worried about against Wyoming, is the right side of the offensive line. Listed there is Charlie Vleem and Jack Foster. Yeah. But at the same time, as I texted Jaden about 5 minutes into the Oregon game, and I said, what the heck is this defensive line? You know, that Oregon's defensive line, very good, very big, injured our quarterback. But, you know, if I'm the offensive line coach, I'm looking at Charlie Vleem, I'm looking at Jack Foster, I'm looking at Caden Robnett, Nate Azapardi, who also, you know, got kind of dominated on the line, even as a captain on the team. And I'm looking at Aiden Knappick, also struggled a bit. And I'm saying, you need to stand tall for your quarterback who hasn't started a snap at Idaho. And you need to play better than you did against Oregon, hold up better than you did against Oregon. And for all of them, you know, they're redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores, redshirt juniors, seniors. You know, this is a team that, or this is a line that is a lot more experienced than they were a year ago. I'm looking at this line and I'm saying,
You're more experienced than you were last year. Don't make the same mistakes you did last year. Hold up better and you know, make this a game against Wyoming.
Right.
Come out on top. You know, and I think Idaho very well can. And, you know, that might be because, you know, I'm paying to be here. But, you know, this is an Idaho team that is going to be very different than it was against Oregon. Very, very different than it was last season. And a team that I think all of the nation is going to have their eyes on against Wyoming this weekend, which I'm not entirely sure what time it kicks off. I think it's 12:30. So, you know, go to breakfast, eat lunch with your family, or eat breakfast and make lunch with your family, turn on True TV, maybe get some Impractical Jokers in beforehand, since that's all they play on that channel. I feel bad for Impractical Jokers.
I was going to say,
you got football on in the middle of the day? What the heck?
Yeah, I mean, you could also tune in to Fox to watch the Michigan Wolverines play the number 3, number 4 Texas Longhorns play at 9 a.m. right before that game. But, no, so the one thing about the O-line, you can't really fault them. I mean, it is Oregon. I mean, the one edge, the end that was killing us was Mateo Ungalele, who, fun fact, his brother is a quarterback for Florida State, who might not have a job here soon. But
it's very obvious one of them got better genes.
But Mateo is a sophomore, a 5-star recruit, the number 4 kid into the country last year. We also have Jordan Burt, a transfer from South Carolina. So that game was always going to be dominated. Our line was going to struggle. That was it. But against Wyoming, who Arizona State picked them apart. It was up and down the field. This is a game that if the Vandals line struggles against Wyoming, we might have to see some quick changes too, because the one thing we don't want is for us to be down to our 4th-string quarterback, because our 3rd-string is out for, it has been confirmed this season. It's just a foreseeable future. So we definitely want Jack Wagner to get hurt. We also don't want him to have a second to turn and throw like Jack Lane had. I mean, Jack Lane had no time to throw. And then when he did throw, you had drops. You had great coverage. I know that Bryce, a writer for the Argonaut, who actually covered the game, was saying the last interception by Wagner was PI. It absolutely was not, but from what Bryce was saying it was. But it's just like all of these things lead up to a game like this, in a game that Idaho, like you and I have said, can easily win. I mean, it's not a game where Wyoming is going to be favored by 45. It's going to be a game, probably a 5-6 point. They're probably going to be favored by 5 or 6 because they're playing at home. And we did lose Jack Lane, but this is a Idaho team that can surprise people, will surprise people. And if they click on all cylinders, we'll be playing deep into December and maybe even in January.
For sure. One more thing I want to mention before we wrap up here. Like I said, a bit of a shorter episode today. And then we're going to go watch some soccer. And I have a meeting at 6:30, so I'll only be there for a little bit. But I'll be there, so that's what counts. I want to talk a bit about Idaho's special teams unit. You know, we didn't get to see, unfortunately, Abraham Williams return any kicks last week. That Oregon's kicker, you know, props to him, realizing he's facing one of the best kick returners in FCS history, you know, right next to Junior Bergen. You know, so we didn't get to see Abraham Williams, but Owen Adams had a couple good kickoffs. Cameron Pope, didn't really get to go out there, except for those couple of PATs. But LJ Harm, starting punter for the Vandals, I think he went out there seven times.
Yeah.
You know, he was out there a lot. His leg never looked tired. There was one play that looked like, at least I don't remember when it was in the game, might just be talking about butt here, but looked like it should have been roughing the kicker.
I don't know if Jaden saw that, but I saw that.
I did not know.
It was on like his third some odd punt, fourth punt maybe. His leg got hit, but maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe I don't know how the rules of football work. Just ask Ricardo Chavez how it feels to get ran into and not have a call called. You know, LJ Harm had a very, very good game as a punter. You know, he was the holder on those PATs as well. I'm hoping we can see Abraham Williams get into the kick return game this Saturday. Hope maybe we can see Andrew Marshall return some punts. You know, and it should be a good day for Idaho. You know, whether they win or lose, they're going to learn a lot from this game on what the next 7, 8, 9 weeks are going to look like. And you know, we don't have that timeline on Jack Lane. For all we know, he could have the world's fastest healing collarbone and be back in 3 weeks. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, you know, it could. And then also, if Jack Wagner gets pulled out, his backup is listed. Nick Josefek, redshirt freshman, 6 foot, 200 pounds. Bit of a bigger guy there who would take over if Jack Wagner were to go down or get pulled out for any reason. Don't know anything about Nick Josefek, but he's been listed as the backup over one other guy who I think is a walk-on. Can't think of his name off the top of my head. Jaden asked me who the heck he was a couple weeks ago, and now I don't remember, so look at me being a bad football fan. But yeah, so I'm excited to watch Idaho this weekend, you know, taking on Wyoming for football, taking on Boise State for soccer. If you're feeling adventurous, get out over to Pullman next week for the Palouse Collegiate Golf Tournament. Cheer on the volleyball team if there's any way to watch them this week. I don't know if there is. It looks like there's a watch button, at least for the Southern Utah games. Okay, so they'll be on ESPN Plus. You can watch it there. I'm not sure about this UC Riverside game. It just has the live stats listed. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing since Southern Utah is hosting, they'll only air their games. So and then, as we mentioned at the time of recording, there is a UC San Diego game happening. So if you were there, you saw me and didn't say hi, I'm kind of upset at you. But if you did see me and did say hi, that's cool. And then, once again, Boise State. And yeah, so it should be a fun weekend for Idaho. Luckily, the Wyoming game is at 12:30, so you got, you know, plenty of time left in your day after it's over to go do whatever it is you do on your Saturday afternoons. And yeah, my name has been James Corbin Aldrich. We didn't do this outro last time because I completely forgot how Mark and I outroed episodes.
Are we gonna do our predictions?
Jaden wants us to do a prediction, so I guess we'll predict the Wyoming game. I think they actually lost 48-7 to Arizona State. I can't fact check, but I remember seeing 48-7 on there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the time I looked was 48-0.
Yeah. So
they might have scored all. They did score late. That's okay. Right.
So Jane's remembering how the game went. Yeah, I didn't watch it at all. So let's see. You lose 48-7 to Arizona State. I'm gonna say you'll lose, you know, 24-14. I always do this. 27-14. I want to see a field goal in there. So 27-14, Idaho will take this one, with a quarterback who has played very minimal snaps for Idaho, who nobody has seen, play big minutes, and, Jack Wagner will prove himself, in the absence of Jack Lane. Jaden, give us your prediction.
Yeah, I think mine's going to be a lot less scoring for me because it's Wagner's first game. I think Idaho does win, like I've been saying. I'm going to go 17-10. Idaho wins it.
All right. So if we're keeping track on how Jaden and I are doing on the prediction front, we are both 1-0 on getting it correct. We are 0-1 on the score spread. I think last week I said, 44-17 or 49-17. I don't remember what you said. It was like 44-10 or something. So Idaho proved us wrong. And as Trevin from the Lewiston Tribune says, great teams cover. So Idaho covered the spread. I don't know what the spread for Wyoming is. I'm not going to look because we're just about out of time. So thank you all for tuning into the second week of the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM. My name is James Torman Aldrich. You can follow me on Twitter at JamesAldrich25. You can follow Jaden
at JadenBurfus10.
Thank you all again, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.